to the Kill Radio Weekly News and Review. I'm your announcer, DJ Shy John. This was recorded on April 2nd, 2013. First up in the news today, from the Los Angeles Times Local, deaths tied to painkillers rising in the U.S. The latest figures on overdoses come as pressure mounts to restrict use of prescription drugs such as OxyContin and Vicodin. This by Scott Glover and Lisa Gurion, Los Angeles Times, March 29th. Despite efforts by law enforcement and public health officials to curb prescription drug abuse, drug-related deaths in the United States have continued to rise, the latest data show. Figures from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention revealed that drug fatalities increased 3% in 2010, the most recent year for which complete data are available. Preliminary data for 2011 indicate the trend has continued. The figures reflect all drug deaths, but the increase was propelled largely by prescription painkillers such as OxyContin and Vicodin, according to just-released analysis by CDC researchers. The numbers were a disappointment for public health officials who had expressed hope that educational and enforcement programs would stem the rise in fatal overdoses. While most things are getting better in the health world, this isn't, CDC Director Tom Frieden said in an interview. It's a big problem, and it's getting worse. Drugs overtook traffic accidents as a cause of death in the country in 2009, and the gap has continued to widen. Overdose deaths involving prescription painkillers rose to 16,651 people in 2010, the CDC researchers found. That was 43% of all fatal overdoses. The numbers come amid mounting pressure to reduce the use of prescription painkillers. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration is considering a proposal to limit daily doses of painkillers and restrict their use to 90 days or less for non-cancer patients. The proposal also would make such drugs available to non-cancer patients only if they suffer from severe pain. The data supporting long-term use of opiates for pain other than cancer pain is scant to non-existent, Frieden said. These are dangerous drugs. They're not proven to have long-term benefit for non-cancer pain, and they're being used to the detriment to hundreds of thousands of people in this country. Among the most promising tools to combat the problem, Frieden said, are computerized drug monitoring programs that track prescriptions for painkillers and other commonly abused narcotics from doctor to pharmacy to patient. Frieden said such programs should be used to monitor doctors' prescribing as well as patients' use. You've got to look at the data to see where the problems are, he said. You don't want to be flying blind. In California, officials do not use the state's prescription drug monitoring program, known as CURES, C-U-R-E-S, to proactively seek out problem patients or physicians. The state's medical board initiates investigations of doctors only after receiving a complaint. Legislation awaiting action in Sacramento would increase funding for CURES and provide more investigators to police excessive prescribing, among other measures. Frieden, a physician trained at Columbia and Yale universities, said patient safety should be placed above the concerns among some doctors about scrutiny of their prescribing patterns. We all take an oath to, above all, do no harm, he said, and these medications do harm. You're free to practice medicine however you want, but you're not free to do things that hurt people. President Obama's drug czar, R. Gil Kerlikowske, echoed Frieden's call for aggressive monitoring by state medical boards. You can't just sit back, have a big database, and then say, well, we'll wait till there's a complaint that comes in, he said in an interview. You have to use it proactively. Lynn Webster, president-elect of the American Academy of Pain Medicine, said the new figures underscored the need for further action, such as educating physicians to recognize patients who are at risk for abusing painkillers. This is not the trend anyone wants to see, Webster said. CDC mortality data culled from death certificates do not detail how the decedents obtained the drugs that killed them. A Los Angeles Times analysis of coroner's records published last year found that prescriptions from physicians played a substantial role in the death toll. Of 3,733 prescription drug-related fatalities in Southern California examined by the Times, nearly half involved at least one drug that had been prescribed to the decedent by a physician. 71 doctors prescribed drugs to three or more patients who later fatally overdosed, the analysis showed, and several of the doctors lost a dozen or more patients to overdoses. The latest CDC figures predates a broad attack on prescription drug abuse and misuse launched by the White House in April 2011. The preliminary figure for 2011 is down slightly, but is expected to grow by at least 5%, exceeding the 2010 level when all death certificates are in and counted, experts said. That's what has happened in previous years. Kerlikowske, who heads the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy, said efforts to hone the response to measures that show results were frustrated by the lagging mortality data. But, he said, anecdotal evidence and surveys of younger Americans suggest there's a lot going on that's moving in the right direction. He declined to predict when there would be a downturn in deaths. It won't be overnight, certainly, he said, but we didn't get here with these kinds of numbers of deaths and overdoses overnight. And now I'd like to present some short news items. These come in from the Levine Breaking News. This report was dated Saturday, March 30th. 30 indicted in Atlanta cheating scandal. Nearly three dozen former Atlanta, Georgia educators were indicted Friday in one of the biggest test cheating scandals in history. Prosecutors have charged former Superintendent Beverly Hall with racketeering, false statements, and theft, saying that Hall received bonuses tied to falsified scores. According to the report, instances of cheating included teachers being pressured by administrators to erase incorrect answers after testing and even prompting students to fix their own responses during exams. This just in, Bieber's pet monkey quarantined in Germany. Life can be tough for a world-famous pop superstar. Lately in hot water for allegedly threatening his neighbor, the Biebs added to his tribulations last week when he had to leave a monkey in quarantine in Germany, said an official on Saturday. The Capuchin lacked the proper documentation to get through customs last Thursday and had to be left with authorities. The tweet Bieber sent after performing that night, "Munich was a good time and loud. The bus is headed to Vienna now. You coming?" made no mention of his detained pet. Hope Germany has good bananas. Here's one, BET founder. This country would never tolerate white unemployment at 14 or 15%. Black Entertainment Television founder Bob Johnson said Tuesday that the nation would never tolerate white employment at 14 or 15%, and yet unemployment for the black community has been double that of white Americans for over 50 years. No one would ever stay in office at 14 or 15% unemployment in this nation, but we've had that double unemployment for over 50 years, Johnson said while speaking at the National Press Club about the gap between whites and blacks in America. Tibet landslide, no survivors. Rescue workers are still searching 36 hours after a landslide buried a miner's camp in Tibet. The first body was found on Saturday out of a total of 83 miners believed to have been trapped beneath 2 million cubic meters of earth. At this point, reported a rescue worker, the chances of finding even a single survivor are slim. The efforts of the 2,000 rescue workers have been hampered by poor weather, altitude sickness, and more landslides. Zumba Madam pleads guilty. Alexis Wright, a Maine dance instructor who allegedly used her Zumba studio as a front for a prostitution ring, pled guilty to 20 counts Friday, including engaging in prostitution, promotion of prostitution, conspiracy, tax evasion, and theft by deception. Wright allegedly conspired with insurance agent Mark Strong Sr., who helped her run the business and watched via Skype while Wright engaged in sex acts with clients. Wright is thought to have made over $150,000 in 18 months. Prosecutors will recommend a 10-month jail sentence when she is sentenced on May 31st, then seek restitution of $57,250 when she is released. I think she can afford it. Man charged for cheese heist. The nickname Big Cheese has never been so well-deserved. An Illinois man named Veniamin Konstantinovich Balaika has been charged for stealing 21 tons of Munster from a Wisconsin cheese company and attempting to sell 42,000 pounds of it at a New Jersey Turnpike rest stop. The 34-year-old dairy thief fooled the company's owner, presenting him with the proper paperwork to pick up a shipment, but was busted on the side of the highway with his stinky haul, valued at a whopping $200,000. But there could be a silver lining to all this cheesiness. If the Munster passes New Jersey health inspections, it could be donated to charity. Shroud of Turin goes on display amid new research. The Shroud of Turin has gone on display for a special TV appearance amid new research purporting to date the linen, some say was Jesus' burial cloth, to around the time of his death. Pope Francis sent a special video message to the event in Turin's cathedral, which coincided with Holy Saturday, when Catholics marked the period between Christ's crucifixion on Good Friday and his resurrection on Easter Sunday. The Vatican has tiptoed around just what the cloth is, calling it a powerful symbol of Christ's suffering, while making no claim to its authenticity. Francis toed that line Saturday, calling the cloth an icon, not a relic. Many experts stand by carbon dating of scraps of the cloth that date it to the 13th or 14th century. Here's a little good news. Stranger pays off single mom student loans. Starley Bicote told USA Today in December that she didn't even have a dollar to buy her five children gifts. In March, the Rhode Island single mother got a much bigger present from a businessman who read the December 24th article about people facing financial hardship at the holidays. The man, who asked that his name not be used to preserve his privacy, paid off Bicote's college loans, which totaled more than $35,000. In January, he wired her $5,000 to help with her expenses. Bicote earns about $13.65 an hour as a case manager for a community mental health center. With her five children in tow, she ran out of gas on the way to the interview for the December article and had to borrow money to fill her tank. And lastly, NPR ending Talk of the Nation. Neil Conan, you're giving us abandonment issues. After 21 years on air, NPR announced Friday it is ending Talk of the Nation and replacing the radio show with Here and Now, an afternoon newscast produced by Boston University's WBUR. Conan, who has been with NPR for 35 years, will also step away from the rigors of daily journalism when the show goes off the air at the end of June, according to a statement from the network. Currently a one-hour program, Here and Now will expand to 2 hours and be more news-driven with less focus on opinion. Tune in July 1st at 2 p.m. And now we come to the fun part of the news, ladies and gentlemen, the Harper's Weekly Review, dated April 2nd, 2013. The U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments on the constitutionality of California's ban on same-sex marriage and of a provision of the U.S. Defense of Marriage Act that withholds from gay married couples federal benefits guaranteed to heterosexual married couples. There's two kinds of marriage, said Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg of the situation created by DOMA. There's full marriage, and then there's sort of skim milk marriage. Same-sex marriage supporters rallied outside the courthouse with signs bearing such slogans as "Hey Supremes, you can hurry love," and "Marry me, Rachel Maddow, You are entitled, said New York Cardinal Timothy Dolan, to friendship. The governor of North Dakota signed into law three bills comprising the most stringent abortion restrictions in the United States, and a Colorado man claiming to be the illegitimate son of Dwight Eisenhower was detained for threatening the life of Barack Obama. The U.S. military confirmed that 37 of the 166 prisoners incarcerated at Guantanamo Bay were participating in a hunger strike, whose numbers have been growing for several weeks, and that it was force-feeding 11 of them, while a defense attorney claimed that, in fact, 130 prisoners were refusing food. The hunger strikers have created an unfortunate situation with no clear path to resolution, said Captain Robert Durand. Progress has been made under this and the previous administration, said White House Deputy Press Secretary Joshua Ernest. A Brazilian investigator said that a doctor charged with murdering seven patients in order to free up hospital beds may have been responsible for as many as 300 deaths. Our mission, said Dr. Virginia Soares de Souza in a recorded phone conversation, is to be go-betweens on the springboard to the next life. A Muscovite was arrested for exposing his friend to radon in an attempt to help him achieve immortality. And Saudi Arabia beheaded a Yemeni man accused of murder, robbery, and sodomy, then crucified his body. In his Easter homily, Pope Francis called for peace in Israel, the Korean Peninsula, and Syria, where more than 6,000 people were reported to have been killed in March, and criticized human trafficking and the reckless exploitation of natural resources. An Exxon oil pipeline ruptured in Mayflower, Arkansas, and three oil tanker cars ruptured during a train derailment near Parker's Prairie, Minnesota. American beekeepers were blaming the prevalence of bee colony collapse disorder on the widespread use of neonicotinoid pesticides. If you have whiskey every night, 365 days a year, your liver's gone, said a co-owner of the largest U.S. beekeeping concern. A Wisconsin woman named Elizabeth Hohen was observed stealing three steaks while clothed soon after being observed on a street corner while pantsless. And Geico released a motorcycle insurance ad set to a song by the Allman Brothers Band, two of whose members died in motorcycle crashes. New studies cast doubt on the consistency of the speed of light in a vacuum and confirmed that the Xenoturbella boci paradox worm is the progenitor of humankind. Maybe we're more closely related to the Xenoturbella boci worm, which doesn't have a brain, said a Swedish biologist, than we are to lobsters and flies. That's reassuring. A Chinese fishmonger found a bomb inside a squid. An American scientist reported the discovery of a two-headed shark in the uterus of another shark. British researchers developed a vaccine for foot and mouth disease. What we have achieved here, said biologist Dave Stewart, is close to the holy grail of foot and mouth vaccines. North Korea said it had entered a state of war with South Korea, compared the security of the U.S. mainland to that of a boiled pumpkin, and released a photo showing a map with missile traces leading to Austin, Texas. Hackers carried out against the Dutch anti-spam firm Spamhaus, one of the most powerful distributed denial-of-service attacks in the history of the Internet. The Egyptian military caught three scuba divers accused of disrupting Internet service in Africa and Asia by sabotaging the CMEWE-4 fiber-optic cable off the coast of Alexandria. Lahoris were fighting over a proposal to rename after a Sikh revolutionary who was hanged on the site by the British. A traffic circle that currently honors the Muslim student who coined the name Pakistan If a few people decide one day that the name has to be changed, said Merchant Zamin Butt, why should the voice of the majority be ignored? Following a complaint from Google, Sweden removed the word O-Googlebar, ungoogleable, from its official list of new words. Germany confiscated the monkey of singer Justin Bieber. In Rome, a penis added at the behest of former Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi to an ancient statue of Mars was reported to have been removed. And in Missouri, a probationer was charged with using a forging instrument after he wore a prosthetic penis to excrete drug-free urine for a compulsory test. Conservatives were criticizing the U.S. National Science Foundation for granting $384,949 to fund a study of duck penis plasticity. Sometimes you have to look at the big picture, said NSF spokeswoman Debbie Wing. This article by Jeremy Kane. And that reaches the end of the Kill Radio Weekly News. Ladies and gentlemen, please be good to each other in the coming week and stay out of the news.